Assalamu alaikum everyone, and thank you for joining me on this episode of the Mindful Muslim Podcast. On this podcast, I am speaking to the amazing Dina Aziz, who is a published author of the incredible Ramadan Planner. Make sure you listen and get to know her and listen to her talk about her planner and all the amazing aspects of the planner that she's created for Ramadan. Jazakallah khair.
Walaikum assalam.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Inspirited Minds Mindful Muslim Podcast. It's amazing to have you on. We feel honored and privileged, and I'm just so excited to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so excited, guys. On the drive here, I was like zooming through traffic. I was happy. So alhamdulillah, it's a good day and I'm just excited to start.
Good. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Tell our listeners, our viewers a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so where do I start? So currently, I'm a published author. Mm-hmm. And in my day-to-day life, I am a full-time data analyst. So I do a lot considering everything. And on top of that, I have been an influencer, well, more of a content creator for the past 8 to 9 years online. Mm-hmm. And my name is Dina, if that wasn't already said in the beginning. And I'm here to talk about my Ramadan planner today.
Amazing. So let's dive into it then. Your Ramadan planner is beautiful.
Thank you so much.
And just amazing. I really cannot rate this enough. But tell us in your words how it kind of came about. Where did this idea come from?
Yeah. So I believe it was 2019. I remember the year specifically because there's only been so many editions since. So in 2019, I have had a couple of revert friends who were really struggling to do Ramadan alone. I think it's very different considering that they didn't grow up in Muslim households and they were also living by themselves at the time. I went out of my way. I made them a couple dua sheets. I was like, hey, here you guys go. And they would do something in return. So it was really fun. It was really cute. And eventually I made them a mini journal and I sent it over on WhatsApp. And over time, they really put it to use. I think within a week, they sent it over on different group chats. I wasn't completely aware. They asked me if they could. I said, yeah, go on. Like, who's going to use it? Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was really invested in my content creating online, posting a lot of Instagram and TikTok stuff. Mm. And I also remember this was, I think, when a lot of Palestine marches were happening. So my mind was there a lot of time rather than like making planners and stuff. I was just doing this for like my friends. Mm. And within 2 weeks of making the planner, it actually came all the way back to me. It circled back on WhatsApp and it came back to me and my family. And they suggested just posting it online on Instagram, on Twitter. And so I posted it online and it got huge traction. I didn't expect it. Mm. And at the same time, the only thing that I did during Ramadan on Instagram and TikTok was polls, quizzes. I also made calendars, so 30-day calendars, lock screen stuff. That's the only thing I really like pushed out. And then I basically, within the month, well, not even within the month, within 48 hours of posting bits and bobs of the planner, I finalized the first copy, which was about 40 or 50 pages. I know it sounds crazy, but I did it within 2 days. I didn't leave my room. And then, yeah, I just pushed it out and I did it for free because I thought, yeah, digital copy for people, anyone who can benefit, it would just be amazing. Mm. So, yeah, the link actually broke several times the first time round. And then by the second time round, when I released it, the Ramadan after, I think this was 2020, 2021, I had to release it on 6 different platforms until the link was working because there were so many people on it just trying to download it and stuff.
Sure.
So yeah, and now we're here. Well, within that, when it blew up, I think it blew up the most in 2021, 2022. Mm. It reached internationally, which was crazy. Like, it reached schools in Malaysia, Indonesia. People were DMing me copies that they printed out, like just on A4. And they were like, yeah, I'm going to give it to my students.
Amazing.
And I believe Penguin saw that and they thought, that's amazing. And they actually reached out to me. A lot of people think I reached out to them, but they found me, and they were like, yeah, we want to release with your help.
Well, credit to them as well.
Yeah, honestly, credit to them, because I just wouldn't be here without them. So, and Allah, obviously. But yeah, so that's the whole journey.
Amazing. So you've gone through kind of how you were an influencer before. I'm interested to know a little bit more about that kind of backstory and what you were doing before. And you still have your influencer hat on, no? Do you still share content with your followers?
Yes. So I put the hat back on around 2 months ago or a month ago, because that's when we really finalized the book and stuff. And I thought, okay, now we have a hard copy. Mm. Everyone needs a hard copy of the planner if they've been with me since 2019, from PDFs to hard copy. So I was really excited to come back and start like talking about it and going through it. I actually can't wait for Ramadan and like starting to fill it out and talk about my journey and my goals and ambitions. Mm. So yeah, I've still got the hat on. I'm still doing content relating to travel, fashion. I feel like the direction has definitely changed more towards a positive pivot, where I'm just bringing more rather than fashion advice and travel advice. I'm trying my best to make it as a beneficial platform as possible, whether that's through activism or through plan art or through educational means. I understand you're a teacher, so I know you know the enjoyment of helping others.
Absolutely.
So that's my main focus and my main priority now, like just helping others throughout any way, whether they want to know how to become an author, whether I can help make packs and stuff. So yeah, this is, I feel like this is my place.
Your calling.
Yeah, this is my calling.
Amazing. So before we delve more into the actual content and what people can expect from the book itself, tell me what Ramadan means to you.
That's a good question. I think it might be a bit much saying everything, because that's the month that I change the most, and I try to keep the changes going on throughout the year. So it's the most important part of the year for me. And one of the things that I really get sad about is when it ends and I'm like, ah, the vibes aren't going to be the same, you know, we can continue the habits.
Worried.
Yeah, I get worried. So Ramadan means like a pushed change no matter what, and that makes me really excited, because that means I'm going to grow. So it's the only time of the year where I'm like, I'm going to grow 100%. This is like definite. I'm confident I'm going to be a different person by the end of the month. So yeah,
high expectations for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because if there's a month where you can get the most like help from God and you can connect with them the most, it's this one. I know there's other months, but this is the month that really speaks to me the most. So yeah, especially with the discipline and stuff. So yeah, it means a lot.
Amazing. Tell me, you spoke about your journey, but I'm wondering, in terms of your feelings around Ramadan and how important it is to you, how that has kind of changed over time. So maybe when you were a little bit younger as a child and thinking, you know, about how your thoughts have changed and now how you feel about it. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
You know what? I feel like when everyone was younger, especially if you're brought up in a Muslim household, you just you observe most of the time. You're just like, okay, so we have to wake up in the middle of the night. We have to eat, and then we go back to sleep, and I can't have breakfast. I can't have my Cocoa Pops. Okay, that's fine. And then you're like, okay, everyone's really praying loads. And then you kind of like, it's more of like a digestion period, I feel like, rather than a learning period, rather than inputting. And then you implement through looking at others and learning in school and, well, Madrasa, Islamic school and stuff. So for me, yeah, when I was younger, I was just a lot of the time just observing and trying to figure out, and following and figuring out what is going on. Because I was very young and I didn't understand it a lot of the time. I was like, Mom always tells me to eat. Why is she not eating? Like, where's lunch? So, obviously, over
so loads
as time,
of questions
there's
as
so many
up.
As kids, there's so many questions. But what's amazing is I'm seeing it through the next generation, through my cousins. And they're like, I watched them do it from age one up until, like, I'm watching them go through what I went through. And then it's crazy because by age five, they're like, I want to fast. I want to do it. Like, I want the benefits. I want to please Allah. So I just think, that's just
a process
just
that you go through.
Yeah. And then obviously now at this age, I feel like this is the most I've understood about Ramadan, especially because of the way I've designed the planner, and I had to learn a lot whilst going through it. And it went from learning, observing as a kid, to just having schedule and routine, so just doing it and kind right. of being a bit
robotic, almost, or
plastic. Yeah, just yeah, wake up, not eat, cool, pray, okay, done. Having less spiritual
connection to it.
And then as I went through, I think as soon as I hit 23, 22, I was like, nah, like I want to learn, like they did this back in the day.
There's got to be more to this as well.
Yeah, literally. There's got to be more that I can do, and there's more understanding, more ways I can connect. And I joined a couple classes and I saw how everyone was, and I realized, oh, it's the environment as well. And then I went on my own journey, and as soon as I hit, I think 25, which was earlier this year, that's when I was started really craving Ramadan. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna start planning now, like from May for next Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, now it's a mix of schedule planning as well as like my own flow of things. So
it's amazing, honestly, so inspirational, not only to have gone through that journey, which I think so many people could relate to, but also then implementing everything that you've put in the planner in your own life. So inspirational, honestly. One of the things that Inspirited Minds offers is counseling, and we often find that when it comes to Ramadan that we do get lots of people wanting counseling during that month. So it seems to be a time where people are struggling a little bit more. Have you got thoughts on, you know, whether you experienced that yourself or you've known people to have, and why those reasons might be?
You know what, firstly, it's all about perspective. Secondly, it's natural to struggle. You are changing so many things, like you're not eating the time, regular time. That's going to affect your mind. That's going to affect the way you act. On top of that, obviously it's discipline, but naturally you're going to be less on being, I guess, happy and go lucky in general because of like the nutrients, your daily coffee. It's your habits are changing. Therefore, your hormones are changing. Therefore, everything is going to feel different no matter how many times you do Ramadan. This is a whole 11 months of doing your normal routine and you break it, and then for 1 month you're doing something completely different. So I think I would say, don't worry, it's okay, accept the change, embrace it. And it's all about perspective, because firstly, you know the quote where Allah will never burden the soul more than it can bear, he tests those he loves. So whenever I go through hardships during the month, I'm like, Allah just loves me, it's fine. I'll talk to him in the next prayer and I'll ask him like what's going on. But I know this is for a reason, and no good comes if you don't struggle, I guess. I think that's a bad quote, but there's goodness in struggle, there's barakah in struggle. So it's all about perspective. It's just embrace it, just hold it in, not even hold it in, just have it flow through you. And
absolutely. And coming back to the planner then, do you think that it can help people that are struggling? Obviously, yes. I mean, I've said to you, I cannot rate it enough. So tell us a bit more about how it could help people that are struggling, but also just, this is completely for everybody of any age, of any background, people that are Muslims, have grown up Muslims, might be reverts, might be just people that are interested in Ramadan. But then a focus on how it can, in particular, help people who might be in a different state of mind during Ramadan or going through certain periods in the month that, it might be harder and they're really struggling in there.
Yeah. You know what? I'll use a real life example where someone actually came up to me, and I think, I don't know if this was at work or outside of work. Someone actually came up to me and I did not know they were Muslim. And then they told me, wow, I'm going to use your planner. And I thought, I don't even know you. What's going on? And they were like, yeah, I have a complicated relationship with Islam. And we had a little conversation about like the struggles they share. And I thought, you know what? This might be the book for you. This isn't blowing my own trumpet, but because the way that I've structured it, even a five-year-old could understand. So it starts off like, even the first page, before you even start reading the planner, it's who is this for? And it has like illustration, and it says, oh, for whether it's for a reaver, whether it's for kids, whether it's for a sister, whether it's someone who's not Muslim but would like to use the planner. And the main thing that I did was about 50 or 60 pages in the beginning is just content into Islam and the basics, literally the basics. And the most important thing about goals is remembering why you're doing it and the foundation of it. So it doesn't matter if how far along you are on your journey with strengthening your iman, you always need to remember the basics. You need to remember the five pillars. You need to remember the six beliefs. Absolutely. Why we read Quran.
And constantly why, just going back
constantly
to them.
Going back, because that's what will stop you from being disconnected, from being astray. It's just, no, this is why I'm doing this for. I'm doing this for Allah, not for anyone else. This is for between me. And it just, then it really takes out, if you could just imagine, like, I'm a very visual person. Mm. You imagine a crowded room and then it gets smaller and smaller and then it's just quiet. It's just between you and Allah. It's none of these extra voices.
So just completely shuts out distractions, doesn't it? If you have out. That in your mind.
It's just, it just makes it wholesome, if anything. Like, yeah. And so it's I've made sure that it's gradual as well, because one thing that I do struggle with is getting overwhelmed with too much content. So it was really hard. Even as an author, I was like, oh my God, I want to put so many things in. I want to do this. So the one thing that I made sure to help people with is just touching base and coming back out. Like, you don't have to, it's in the form of a guide. So you can flick to any page. I guarantee you'll be intrigued, and then
find
flip to the
useful.
Next page. And then you flip to the next page and you're like, okay, let me start planning. It doesn't mean you have to start from page one, but if you want to, you can. And if you want to start from page 30, you can as well. So I think that's the versatility of the planner that I like the most and could help people.
The other aspect that really kind of drew me in, there's so many, but one of them, one of the kind of tools you have in there is thinking about listing the good deeds that you've done.
Yes.
Oh, and writing out du'as and so many other practical things in there. But especially with the good deeds, I just thought to myself, our brains are actually wired to think more negatively and to focus on the negatives and maybe be less pleased with ourselves in a way, and, you know, remembering the things that we are doing and just focusing on the things that we're not and being so worried or concerned or, you know, harsh with ourselves sometimes and not showing ourselves compassion and love. And I think that's such a beautiful practice in there. How did that come about? Through your own research or anything in particular?
Literally, this was something that I did myself. I actually learned it at therapy.
Right.
And it was when I was talking to her and she said, I'll be not really complaining, but I'll be focusing on the negatives of my life.
Okay.
And then she would sit there and she would remind me. She'd be like, no, but you accomplished this. You did this. You're forgetting. You're forgetting all the things that you've done and you're just focusing on the stuff that you haven't. And that will naturally just cause anxiety. That will naturally make you feel like you're not doing enough, when what you're doing is more than enough, if anything. Not even a comparison point to other people, for you, for your own, like, self-worth journey. It's a lot. So I started off with good deeds that you could do. Every time I implement something in the book, I thought, let me put another page in where the other person can do it themselves. So it gives them the power, gives them the control to feel like, yeah, you know what, like, this is my narrative and this is how I want to do my Ramadan. You don't have to follow, like, the good deeds in this book. There might be more that you know about that I don't know about.
100%.
But yeah, that was a really important part for me. I included it in every daily page. And it's like our own mind will sometimes be our biggest enemy. And I found that, especially during Ramadan, when you're struggling with so much, and you're not remembering the good or the good that you've done personally, it will be daunting. And
Absolutely.
That's when it becomes a bigger struggle and snowballs. So
And also the good that we have as well.
Yes.
You know, and I know there's
the
focus.
Yes.
Absolutely. That you've made it really clear in here to include gratefulness and just remembering how much we do have. And, you know, then off the back of that, wanting to help others that are less grateful and just reaping all those beautiful rewards that we can in this month. I just feel it's so comprehensive, and I love the planner.
Thank you so much.
So is there anything else you wanted to say about that aspect of it, of the fact that you focused on, you know, gratefulness and remembering everything that we do have and not thinking more about things that we don't have, you know?
Yeah, there's I'm trying to remember. I think that I'm gonna have to remember, it's actually in front of me. So there's every 10 days there's a break. There's also every 3 days there's a break, but every 10 days of the planner there's a huge break where you can where it will say, Alhamdulillah, you've fasted for 10 days. Mm. I thought that was really important, because what I noticed in most planners, like regular scheduling ones, is it goes on and on and on. And me...
There's no reflection.
There's no reflection point. Okay. And you kind of... Because it's so predictable, you kind of get bored of it. Not even bored, like you're like, I know what's happening next. I'm just going to fill it out again. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to fill it out. And kind of forget about day one, day two. So this reflection point is really important. Mm. And... it looks at what didn't work well, what worked well, improvements. It's a good balance of just keeping it going, growing. Mm. And the one, my favorite part is the mental health check-in, because that's the most important part for me when filling out the diary. And that's the one thing that I didn't see in most diaries. And it's crazy because when I made this planner, that was the most distinctive thing that I put in, as at the time in uni, I was doing my dissertation and I made an app, and it was a mood app. So I used parts of that app and I tried to put it into a book.
To influence what you've done here.
Yeah. So yeah, it's amazing, the reflection points that I
so
really
comprehensive.
Enjoy. Yeah.
Seriously. I can't pick out anything that, you know, I would have included or changed, or anything that you've missed out. So I honestly can't rate it enough. What I'd like to ask you about next is what you actually enjoyed the most about creating the planner. I'm sure there's lots of aspects that you really enjoyed. Yeah. Maybe not the bit where you were just, I don't know, in your bedroom for a couple of days straight. But anything in particular that comes to mind about when you were researching, or when you were planning, or thinking about what to include? Is there anything that really sticks out that you just loved, that bit of the process?
Yeah, there was... Okay, I'll say three things. So the first thing was, for every day of filling out the journal, there is a specialized hadith quote and a Quranic quote. And it was very long, but I enjoyed it the most because each quote is significant to the day. So it's not just a random quote that I picked out. I went through the last Ramadan and I was like, okay, what quote would have helped me today? And I wrote it down. Okay, what did I need to know today? Okay, and I wrote it. And then I kept a note of it, and then I slowly implemented it into the planner as I went along. So that was a very lengthy process. I couldn't do in 2 days. That took like the whole month, because every day I had to take it as it came along. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, there must be a lot of other people that are relating to the feelings I'm feeling right now. So the first, obviously, 10 days is more motivational stuff from the Quran and quotes and hadiths based on the prophets and how they did struggle and what they went through. And then it gets deeper and deeper into, okay, now you've gotten over the struggle aspect. Well, if you have, alhamdulillah. If you haven't, why not try this? Why not implement the hajjit? Why not implement this? You'll feel better. And then in the end, it's really like reflecting and all the Quranic quotes about being grateful, as you said. And that was my favorite part, because it really made me learn the book, the one book that we should be using to guide our lives. And I was finding out new things every time. I was like, oh my God, this would have helped me another time in my life. And it just really made me deep. Allah's words and how he knows all, and he really benevolent and everything. And the second most favorite part is actually a part no one will guess, and it's at the back of the planner.
Yes.
There's a Quran timeline of when each surah has come out during each period. So the Medinan period, the Meccan period. And this one took a lot of research. Mm. Even though it's condensed into specific periods, the reason why it took so long is because I initially tried to separate them per year.
So this is when each revelation came down.
When each revelation came down.
You tried to do it by year first.
I tried to do it by year first. Mm. And it was hard because there was a lot of narrations with different years. And I could not find authentic ones that had all of them. Mm-hmm. So then it was a research part that I really enjoyed, because I was finding out new things through new books. And eventually I just thought, okay, let's do it in accordance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. And so it starts off from the cave, and then it goes on to when he left Mecca, and then it goes on to the conquest of Mecca, and then it goes on to, I think that was it, obviously his death. So it's really cool, because I've never seen this in any like kids' book, so it's that maybe there is, I haven't found it yet, but I thought it would be really cool to just have it in the back next to the glossary.
So, and that realization that things weren't chronological, so what we read in the Quran is not how the revelations came down, and they were at specific, I mean, subhanAllah, it's just again the appreciating that the Quran is a miracle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another aspect of it, another layer of the fact that things were revealed to the Prophet at the correct time, at the correct moment, about whatever was going on.
Whatever was going, literally, yeah. And that's, I just found it crazy. I was like, wow, I didn't know this was the order. That Al-Barakah came very later on, even though it's chapter 2, and it's something that we should be reading almost every 3 days or a lot of. Yeah, I hope this, if anything, inspires someone to look into it further. That's the only thing I hope that the timeline can do for other people. I hope it like ignites something in someone where they read it and they're like, I want to know more, and then they go ahead and they learn more. So
was there another favorite that you wanted to mention, your third?
There's three, wasn't there? The other one is that's more of a personal one. It was designing the aesthetics of the planner, obviously.
Okay.
So spending a lot of time into the design, illustrating. So a lot of the drawings, I think majority I drew it out, and the rest were either referenced, but that I really enjoyed because I get to really put my creative aspect into it, etc. Yeah, it was the aesthetics. It was, okay, if I was doing this, I wouldn't want this here. I would want it later on. If I was doing this every 3 days, I want a break and I want to read a story to keep me going, to keep me motivated. And it was the design aspect that I really enjoyed.
Amazing. I wanted to ask you about a little bit more about your experience. Obviously, we're in the UK, and just what Ramadan has been like for you. In a country that is non-majority Muslim, what's your experience, or what was your experience maybe before the planner, and now, you know, since you've really started implementing it in your life, how have things changed?
I think there's been really big differences, especially in our generation, where things started off very community-based in terms of knowledge and faith, where you couldn't really rely on external sources within this country to help you go through it. Whereas, like, when I was 10 years old, I would not be able to walk into Sainsbury's and see a whole Ramadan section, or even imagine that there would be podcasts about it. There's a lot of like less resources. So now it's crazy because you can walk into anywhere, and it's the feeling, they will have it. They will have something like relating to us, or so like now I can walk into Waterstones, I can walk into Sainsbury's, I can walk into Asda's, and I'll be like, there'll be a Ramadan section, there will be something that, because of the influence and etc. And so obviously I was a kid, so I didn't really face that much of a struggle, because I was in a community in East London where I was surrounded by Muslims most of my life. I went to school, our whole year group was Muslim. If not, some were not. And a lot of my life I was cooped up in a good community, good place, so I didn't really feel much of the struggles. I guess food wise, because finding halal food was impossible. I just had to eat at home a lot of the time. But now you can go anywhere, you can ask about halal food, and everyone's a little bit more aware. So I think
what about at work? What was your experience like there? And going into the world of work and leaving university. Was there any kind of struggles there for you, and how did you deal with them?
Ramadan and work is still quite difficult, especially in a Western country, as we have our own timing. You know, we have to take breaks and pray, and it does feel daunting because you're like, okay, guys, give me 5 minutes. I'm just going to go pray in the corner and I'll come back. And it's hard when people around you aren't doing it. And what's interesting is in the workplace, I'm the only Muslim female, the only Muslim hijabi as well. I've kind of embraced it at this point, but it's really nice now that everyone's so aware, and it does help when colleagues give that little extra boost, or they want to fast with you, or they want to learn more. And that's what I've experienced. But struggle wise, I did have some workplaces where it was, no, you cannot, like, pray, you have an important meeting, you're gonna have to delay it, or do you have to fast, can you not join us for, you know, lunch, etc., etc. So there is still that, and I think navigating through that is just with sabr, it's just with patience.
And I feel like you know, coming back to the planner actually, and what you mentioned before about power and feeling empowered, I think it really truly does give you that, because you think about the meaning, like you said before, and why you're doing it, and it gives you that strength to face all of that head on, you know, whether it's a colleague, it's a manager, it's whoever.
Yeah.
This is who I am. This is my faith. This is what I believe in. I will stand by it.
Yes.
In a very respectful manner.
Yeah.
But I really think it's such a beautiful thing to have, and it's not something that kind of is always instantly there. I do think it's more of a process and realization as you come into the workplace, and you might move around a little bit, and you know, as your faith develops and you grow, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So you do feel like you've experienced that sort of going through different workplaces?
Yeah. Like right now, I don't have anyone who prays with me at work or would remind, I have to do it all myself. So whereas in the workplace before, there was a lot of, there was actually quite a few Muslims, and it was like non-verbal understanding. Yeah, we're fasting. Yeah, like it's gonna be a long day. Okay, let's try and get this done by 4 p.m. and then leave. So yeah, it's responsibility, accountability, just your own struggle, and I guess seeing the gratefulness and blessing in it, because back in the day they had bigger struggles.
Absolutely.
Where they were trying to implement the religion and implement Ramadan to people who were doing the complete opposite. So then that kind of helps as well, and you're like, you know what, fine, this is my struggle.
Yeah, it's so helpful.
This is my war. Yeah.
Think about it in that way and feel a bit more grounded.
Yeah.
And strong.
Yeah. Definitely. Awesome.
Now, the next thing I want to ask you about is where our viewers, our listeners, can actually grab your Ramadan planner. You all already mentioned some stores.
Yes, oh my gosh. So right now it's in, if you guys can find your local biggest Sainsbury's, it should be in there. I went to
my local sold out.
It's sold out in my one, in both of them. So I was upset I couldn't see it. Other than that, it's available online, Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smith, bookshop.org, The Hive, all major bookshops, UK ones at least. But I think Amazon's the best one because everyone uses Amazon, so yeah.
Brilliant, fantastic. That's easy.
Yeah.
And what about people that might want to follow you on social media, get in touch with you? How can they do that?
Yes. Yes. So guys, I actually recently changed all my usernames. It was so heartbreaking. But my my username is now
easier for us though, I feel like.
Yeah, it's easier for everyone to keep track now where I am. So all my usernames are the same, and it's Dina and 3 A's, then Z-I-Z. So that's my username. You can find me Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, where I speak about the planner. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to direct message me, obviously, and reach out. Yeah.
Amazing. We're kind of drawing to the end of our podcast, sadly.
To be here longer.
I'm really interested to know if there's any other projects in terms of authorship or any other projects that you're working on or thinking about working on.
You know what? Obviously, right now I have my hands full, but I am... This is a secret. So this is unreleased information.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. So during this Ramadan, I am actually, alhamdulillah, I just booked Umrah for me and my siblings and my family. So I want to experience Umrah, and I might make something related to Umrah and that process. Because, oh my gosh, it is so overwhelming. Everyone has different ways. Everyone has different things.
Will this be your first time going?
It's my first time ever going. So,
and all of you are going together.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Want to see, you could even,
what's happening. Yeah.
You know, learn so much about your siblings and
your definitely.
Parents and what their experiences are. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And it's on the last, I booked it for the last 10 days. So I'm going to see hectic Mecca and Medina, but it's going to be an experience. Yes. So that's one thing. And I obviously have other like creative journeys that I'm on. And if you guys follow me on social media, you will see it.
You'll see it all.
Inshallah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. If you could tell us, what's one thing that you want the people that are able to get their hands on your Ramadan planner, what's one real key takeaway that you want them to have or to feel?
I think...
it's hard to kind of pinpoint one
thing. It's so hard. Yeah. Like, I guess learn something. I want someone to learn something and benefit. I know there's a lot of basics in here, how to pray, how to do wudu. But if anything, I hope you learn something about yourself and you learn something about your habits and you can benefit from it or implement it for the rest of your life or the rest of the year. And that's my biggest thing. Every time I say it, I'm just like, I hope you take something away from it.
Amazing. Dina, my final question for you is, on the authorship side, do you have any advice for up-and-coming authors or authors that might be struggling to write?
I think keep pushing. Don't, like this was, obviously, I know this was kind of by chance, by luck, happy accident, but also, obviously, I did push it forward. Use your resources that are near you. You don't have to do it the traditional way. I think send out some stuff, see how everyone takes it. And if you believe in your work and your craft, then it will prosper. And make dua. And I think the biggest thing is reach out. Don't be shy. Someone out there will definitely be inspired by your work. And
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And
invest.
Yeah. And working on something, even if one person benefits, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Even if so one person, that was the mentality I actually had.
In the beginning.
I hope one person just sees it and they can use
absolutely.
It. And then it became so many people. And I was like, okay, this is better than, you know.
Beautiful, pure intentions.
Yeah.
Amazing. Literally. Oh, thank you so much, Dina.
No,
there's honestly so much more I do want to ask, but we can talk off camera, inshallah.
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much for your time and for producing such a wonderful planner that I hope lots and lots of our viewers and listeners will pick up and benefit from.
Jazakallah. Inshallah. Thank you, guys.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jazakallah khair for watching and for listening to this episode of the Mindful Muslim podcast with the amazing Dina Aziz, who spoke to me about her incredible Ramadan planner that she has published. Inshallah, make sure to follow In Spirited Minds on all our social media platforms. And I wish you and your loved ones a wonderful Ramadan where you experience getting closer to Allah, inshallah.